Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We'll tread water as long as it takes to bury you.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So everyone is wondering, who's going to replace Devontae Adams? Ayahuasca.
I just want some ayahuasca for myself.
Sometimes I think you're on it, Mike.
Earlier on the show, the batting stance guy, Guy Reines. Coming up, host of the Sick Podcast from the NFL Network, Adam Rank. UFC play-by-play announcer, Brendan Fitzgerald, plus Big Ten Network host Dave Revson. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Randy Sklar.
There we go. That's how we do it. Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. We trade one beautiful, bald, bearded man talking about sports for another. These are two of my favorite guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Adam Rank of the NFL Network. You took issue. You came here early.
Well, I was here early.
And you took issue with a few. I got a
number of things, if I can get off my chest.
Get into
first
your camera.
All,
speak
fact,
down the barrel,
the fact
buddy.
That Gar left. Why are you sitting here? We'll do panel like the old Tonight Show.
Right. Move them
like
over.
That was like that was one
we
of
only
the greatest.
Have one chair.
Like I, there's plenty of room here. we could have pulled in a chair.
We had a chair.
Pulled
a
Del Tufo's chair. Like
yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like some of the greatest moments in television are guys doing panel. Like
that's
Norm
right.
Macdonald, Courtney Thorne Smith.
Oh my God.
Like nowadays that would never happen.
No.
Jimmy Fallon's out there trying to recreate magic. It's like it's never going to happen unless you have somebody doing panel.
I agree.
Burt Reynolds and the dude from Win, Lose, or Draw.
Oh.
That was another classic one.
Oh yeah, that was
Leno,
Mark.
Like the old Leno show.
It was for, he was in Double Dare. It was Mark Summers.
Mark Summers.
And Burt Reynolds when he tried to throw the water on him and then he threw the water. I mean, that was like.
Pies afterward? This never happened.
Mark Summers, don't get into Burt Reynolds' marriage history. Like, you're in the wrong area. You're out of your depth.
The fact that Burt stayed for you and that's where you went. Like, what is wrong with you?
Didn't he do Supermarket Sweep, too? I believe Mark Summers did Supermarket Sweep. We'll check on that. We'll find that out.
And I also, love that you bring me on to these shows.
The
only time I get to do Rome, the only time I get to do Eisen is when you're there. You're like the backup quarterback who comes into the game, but he throws to the second team guy.
That's right.
Like you come into the game, you're like, I'm not throwing it to Devontae Adams.
No, I'll throw to my
guy. I'm throwing it to Rank because we practice together.
We know. We have a chemistry.
That's all.
So did you watch any of the game yesterday? I think there were two games.
I was on a flight coming back from Chicago. I was out there for training camp. But I did come back and watch a little bit of
it. Did we learn anything?
Nothing.
But the Raiders are good. The Raiders are going to be good this year. What do we think?
I think a lot of people continue to overlook the fact that the Raiders made the playoffs last season.
Yes, they did.
Like everybody talks about the AFC West. Oh, they're loaded up. They're ready to go. I'm not so sure about the Raiders. And you're like, I'm sorry, the team that made the playoffs that eliminated the Chargers.
I know.
In a what was essentially a playoff game, they add Devontae Adams. They add Chandler Jones. Like that's the thing that kind of goes under the radar. Like we're laughing at the TikToks of Hunter Renfrow and an Uber. But we're like, oh yeah, they also got Chandler Jones, who's one of the best, most excellent pass rushers in the game going alongside the other guy that got there. Now I'm like spaced.
Yeah, but
I've been traveling too much.
But they beefed up their team, a team that already made the playoffs.
Yes.
I mean,
So did Denver. Well,
they're
Denver was already a good team.
They were already a good team, and then they added a component to
me. But I think Kansas City, I know a lot of people, I know if Stone Street was here, he'd be upset with me.
Yeah,
but like, I think getting rid of Tyreek Hill is a bigger mistake. It's a bigger deal than a lot of people are talking about. I will say this. When you're talking about fantasy production.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is going to go out there and put up numbers.
He will.
Like you look at it and
he runs,
you know, his passer rating without Tyreek Hill was over 100.
Yeah.
He had 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's fine. But if you went back and looked at that game against Buffalo,
I mean, I don't know what game you're talking about. The greatest game ever played in the history of football. Yeah, I don't know that game.
But that was Tyreek Hill. Most of that was Tyreek Hill.
I mean, Tyreek Hill was like the guy who just kept on raining threes in like a pickup basketball game at like a YMCA. And like he keeps coming down and the other guys are like, guard him.
We can't.
Guard him. They couldn't.
They could not. They cannot stop him.
You knew where it was going.
Yes.
And every time it's like, and not just a 10-yard over the middle, he turns into 15. Like 30-yard across the middle. I'm like, no one's seeing this coming. How is this guy dusting everybody? Put four guys on him.
You can't
make someone else beat you. But again, you know, Travis Kelce, you got some other weapons. He's got weapons.
You have players, you'll be fine. But there's a difference. There's a difference between, like, are you a playoff team? Are you a Super Bowl team? I think Tyreek Hill makes them a Super Bowl team. I think they're good. They're a good team.
So is this the year that Josh Allen, if he doesn't get into fights with everyone on the team during practice, is this a year that the Bills can take it over the top and perhaps go to the Super Bowl, win one for the great Jew Marv Levy? I love him. The great Jew in the sky. I think he's still alive, but anyway.
Right. He just had a birthday, right?
He did.
96 or something?
Just turned 97, I was told.
Yeah, there you go.
Hoskins. Anyway,
don't get ahead of yourself.
I
like the Bills. I think everything's been building to this point. Like,
right.
It is one of those things. Like, if you're watching a movie or if you're into professional wrestling and you're like, this has been the build. Like, we all know that when WrestleMania is at SoFi, Cody Rhodes is winning the title.
That's
like,
right.
We just know. Like, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's what the Bills feel like. They feel like Cody Rhodes. Maybe Josh Allen should go out there, get a tattoo on his neck.
Yes.
Like, fulfill the whole thing.
Thank you.
But I think the biggest thing is getting Von Miller was such a huge deal for them. And again, people overlook this, and it's probably because of dorks like me who are so into fantasy football.
No,
but all we care about is if Gabe Davis is going to have, you know, 15 touchdowns this year or not. But you're like, getting Von Miller, significant, because last year when he went to the Rams, it was a perfect situation for him. It's like, listen, bro, we don't care what you do during the regular season. Show up come playoff time.
Right.
And I think that's what Buffalo's trying to do.
They're like, do it when it counts.
Yeah.
We already have a great defense. We already play in a stadium where in an outdoor stadium that's freezing most of the year, that make it hard to just put up video game numbers. So we already kind of have that. We tamp down your offense by coming in here.
Right.
You add him on that sort of, hopefully for the postseason run.
Yeah.
Do the Rams look, obviously they lost Von Miller. Do the Rams look like they can repeat or?
Well, I'm already starting to get worried. Like Matthew Stafford, they're having issues like, that's the kind of the thing that a baseball player has been dealing with and worried about his arm. Like that's what I don't want to hear.
You don't want to hear anything like his shoulder soreness.
What is happening? Like then shut him down. Like there's another guy like, we're good. We know what he's got.
You know, he's going to be great.
Put Johnny Dubs out there. Let him play some preseason games. I'm excited about having Allen Robinson out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are sleeping on him. Like what happened last season
should
just be disregarded. Like that was that's a Matt Nagy situation.
Uh-huh.
That was mishandled. Allen Robinson has been one of the best professionals. He's played with some of the worst quarterbacks in NFL history
and
gone out there.
Numbers.
Put up great numbers.
Yeah, he's a great receiver.
I think if Matthew Stafford is healthy, then Allen Robinson puts up top five numbers.
Mm.
And I think we're going to see something special out of him. So, I'm rooting for him. Anybody from Chicago, like we're cool.
Yeah.
Like Allen Robinson
did nothing
wrong. Like we're good with him still. No need to go after him.
So, I mean, it's funny. I don't know if we said this to you when you came and did our podcast. I feel like Justin Herbert is like West Coast Josh Allen. They
to
me, very similar. They can run big. Both guys are 6'6", 6'5", 6'6". Great arms.
Doesn't get credit for his athletic ability.
Right. And
Herbert,
I think,
like, he can run.
I think Herbert, I don't know why I feel like this could be a breakthrough year for the Chargers this year.
Oh, my gosh. I hope so. Because,
you know,
you had Gar out here, and you're talking about Mike Trout, which, by the way, I love Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Amazing
incredible
player.
Face
but when you guys
baseball.
Are saying, like, stop it. If it's not Shohei Ohtani, it's nobody.
I'm a Showtime guy.
He's the face of baseball.
Why is he in the witness protection program
in
the Angels?
He's not in No, you can come see him anytime.
He
hit two home runs yesterday.
I
My
know.
Kids were there watching the game.
I'm saying he's
lost. We go. It doesn't. Who cares?
What do you mean? Who cares?
I have a set. What does it matter?
Mike Trout has 12 career postseason at bats.
I know. Spoken like a true Angel fan. Listen, what does it matter?
Would I have liked them to be in the playoffs? Yes.
Yes.
But you guys don't care. You're a Boston fan. You don't care. Like, if Dustin Pedroia never played in a playoff game, I would have never cared.
Wow.
And it's like one of those things.
Wow.
Like,
except I think he has people three only, rings and an MVP.
Listen, I also didn't like him because, you know, Cal State Fullerton, we had a rivalry with ASU.
David Eckstein had to come to the Cardinals to win an MVP, World Series MVP.
But he won his second title.
That's right. Because
he did win one with the Angels.
Scott Spezio is running over a highway somewhere, you know, in
a crack bender. We're the 2002 reunion this season, and they all came out, and it was amazing to see people like Spezio.
I'm like, Spezio.
Eckstein.
He made
John
it
Lackey came
Spezio
back.
Spezio came out on the field with just one shoe on. You're like, what's going on right
now? Yeah, he was an amazing player. So I don't even know what my point was. Oh, but what I hope, though, to your point,
yeah.
I hope that Herbert doesn't become, like, when we did the, when the Angels did, forget it. I go to enough games. I spend enough money there. When we debuted the City Connect jerseys and they had Justin Herbert as part of it, and you're like, oh, don't do this to this guy. Because if you're talking about somebody who could be the Mike Trout of football, you're wait. Like, because like everybody's just already assuming the Chargers are going to the playoffs. And you're like, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't want to say. And you're like, they're like, well, they brought in Khalil Mack. You're like, yeah, that guy played 7 games last year.
Right.
Like, there's
J.C.
Jackson. You're like, yeah. Like, you know, when Tennessee brought in Butler, Malcolm Butler, they thought they were getting the guy who won the Super Bowl. And
That's right.
Did not work out. Like, these things don't always work. I'm rooting for Justin Herbert. I'm a huge fan. I love Austin Eckler.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Chargers.
Love Austin Eckler.
I want them to get over the hump.
Me too, and I think it's good for the game if they do. It's nice. I think the NFL, as far as star power, specifically in the quarterback rooms, is in the best shape of any league because you've got old-time great veterans that are the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, old-time. Then you got mid-level guys who've been around, the Russell Wilsons of this world who've been around. Those guys are great and can still put up crazy numbers and still really good. And then you have a lot of young dudes. I would put Mahomes, I would put Josh Allen, I would put Justin Herbert and a handful of others that I'd put Tua in there. You never know what that kid's going to do. So it's like there are so many franchises. You know, the quarterback for the Jets, if he ever stops hanging out with his mom's friends.
The second year guys, you know, like you look at Trevor Lawrence last year, Trey Lance is going to start.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson.
So where does Jimmy Garoppolo go?
I mean, I don't know. I think you got to hold out and just kind of figure out because unfortunately.
Who would he help the most?
I don't know. Like if he went to Seattle, I think he was probably better than the guys that they have there right now. But there's not a lot of, also, you know, the bad part of training camp is that sometimes these jobs come open. Sam Bradford was traded to Philadelphia a couple of years ago because an injury opened up a spot. Like, honestly, if I'm the Commanders, like, why did you spend all that money for Carson Wentz?
That's
right. We could have gotten Jimmy Garoppolo instead. I know that Garoppolo's coming off an injury. And that kind of, you know, hurt things a little bit.
But Wentz isn't. Wentz had like the most gruesome injury ever a couple of years ago. I you know, what about Garoppolo to a team like the Bears? Now, I know you don't want to curb what Justin Fields is doing. That's not going to do that. Right. But like, he's a guy that if things aren't working, he's a kind of a insurance policy almost.
Well, I mean, that's why they brought in Trevor Siemian. They brought in the guy from Northwestern.
Yeah.
He comes in.
Yeah,
he's the guy. He's not going to push him. You want to commit to your number one quarterback.
That's the biggest
issue. What happened last year is they drafted Justin Fields.
When has an Ohio State quarterback worked out? Unbelievable prospects.
But these guys are not being drafted as number one quarterbacks. Like there have been since Art Schleister. There's been one other first round quarterback who was Dwayne Haskins. And then it was Justin Fields. They were not producing. It's not like they were turning out these quarterbacks who were first round draft picks who went on to be bust. They were like guys who were good college quarterbacks who weren't specifically going to play well in the NFL.
They had NFL running backs. They had defensive guys and they had wide receivers, Ohio State.
Probably start changing with Ryan Day, and then we'll start seeing more Ohio State quarterbacks, and it's just a narrative that's hopefully going to go away. But like a lot of teams, like when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you should like use him, like let him take first team reps. Like it's insane.
I mean, you should give it a try. You absolutely should give it a try. And I feel like teams are more willing to do that because Look,
well, everybody was doing it last year. Like Mac Jones, they got like the Patriots got rid of Cam Newton, who Cam Newton could obviously still play, but they're like, we don't want any distractions. But the Bears, like the Patriots get rid of a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But the Bears are like, oh, we got Andy Dalton. Oh, we can't insult this guy. Like, we promised Andy Dalton. Like,
no.
Andy Dalton's your friend that you barely see that you flake on at the last second. That's fine.
I'm sorry, like, Andy.
Sorry, Andy.
I told you I was going to go to the movies with
you. I know you bought the tickets. But
exactly. You can find someone else to go with you. It's 5 minutes before the movie. Andy Dalton's sitting there with an extra ticket. Surprises this year, teams that you feel like will surprise you. Who do you think is like going to come out of nowhere and have a season that will be memorable?
I would say, you know who a team I don't want it to be? I don't want it to be Detroit, because people are already
hard knocks,
on
baby.
The line. That's the
hard
thing.
Hard knocks. The curse of hard knocks.
I'm tired of Detroit already. Like everybody acting.
Hard knocks hasn't even started.
I know.
Yet.
But it's
started.
Like every Dan Campbell interview, you're just saying ridiculous things. Kyle Brandt was on Good Morning Football talking about, what was this saying? Like, unfragile?
He had something about drowning the other day.
Like, oh, we're going to keep churning. We're going to keep churning until we bury you. Like, that's not the metaphor. That's not even a metaphor.
Churning until we bury.
And everybody, they want to act like, you know, they're like, hey, they were 3-3 at the end of last year. You're like, they were 3-14. Like, that's not a good thing.
You want to be 3-3 at the end of the year, not 3 wins and, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Is Jared Goff still the quarterback? Did I miss a memo?
I think
like Jared Goff was replaced by somebody. He's still there. Exactly. Okay. So why are we acting like
Aiden Hutchinson, program changing player? And he might be, I think he has in him JJ Watt DNA. And you watch the Hard Knocks of the Houston, and he was the guy in Houston. He was the guy who stayed after and signed every autograph. He was the guy that the kids were really excited to see. If Aiden Hutchinson can be that, and I'm saying, look, he may be more TJ Watt than JJ Watt, but like, you never know.
Whatever, like that, TJ Watt would be pretty good.
TJ Watt would be amazing.
I think I would take TJ Watt, but especially at this point.
Maybe that's the beginning of the turning around.
I like it, and he's a hometown guy, and it's a great story. I don't want to besmirch. I don't want to besmirch Detroit. Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
Like, again, you talk about wrestling. You need the jobber.
You need the
jobber that you think is going to win. You're like, is
he's the guy who shows up in the ring.
Is Taka going to beat Triple H? Like, I don't know.
He's the guy who shows up in the ring. He's already in the ring. He doesn't have a sweat coat or anything.
Yeah.
He just has like a one, like kind of a not that glittery jacket.
Yeah.
Like,
it kind of comes
Dave
in.
Smith is
But he's going to get over it. Like, when you first time you saw Orange Cassidy, you thought like that gimmick wouldn't work. And then you're like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. I don't want that for the Lions.
Orange Cassidy is the Vanilla Sky of wrestlers. There you go.
My gosh.
How about that? people can follow you at Adam Rank.
Yep. Twitter.
On Twitter and on Instagram.
It's Adam Rank NFL, because there's some kid in the UK.
Who is this kid?
Adam Rankin. Like, he's not it. Like, use your full name.
Use your full name.
What is happening? Use your full name. That's all I'm asking.
There's an English Premier League pundit named Adam Rankin, and he had to switch to Adam. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Something
there.
Crazy.
Give him back his thing. But Adam Rank NFL on Instagram. And people can see you're about to go run over there and
do Total Access today. I've been doing the gamut. I did GMFB this morning.
Love it.
Came here to do
everywhere.
This. You know what? That's what I was in Chicago, Cincinnati.
You're
it's been
a
fun
man,
time.
And your fantasy stuff is just, I love it so much.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you do. Thank you for coming over
here.
Oh
my gosh. Thanks
this.
For having me. It was great
Adam,
seeing
Adam Rank.
Look at these guys.
I know. I love these guys. Adam Rank, everybody.
Hey,
there
hey,
you
guys.
Go. Let me say this about NetSuite, guys. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. Adam Rank is right here, and he's a stats guy. He knows. He's a fancy guy. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation is running rampant. Supply chains are clogged, and the labor market is tight. What does that mean for the margins? We don't know, but not every business is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. In 2022, profit is the new growth. So NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your manual business processes, and see where to save money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to NetSuite.com/ Rich Radio right now. NetSuite.com/Rich Radio. That's NetSuite.com/Rich Radio. When we come back, Brendan Fitzgerald from the UFC Fight Pass will be right back.
Wish your team could find some next level talent? Of course you do. When your business needs someone with the right skills fast, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/richpodcast. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit right now at Indeed.com/richpodcast. You will not regret it. Indeed.com/richpodcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome back. It's Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a brand new show Jason and I do on UFC Fight Pass. It's called The Nosebleeds. It's basically cheap seats rebooted. Everyone has asked us when. That's the thing we go, Brockman, wherever we go and doing stand-up or even on Twitter. Jay and I have done a number of shows over the years since Cheap Seats went off the air basically around 2010. And this is the one that even like up until like a couple months ago, people were like, when is Cheap Seats coming back? And so now we can actually say it's coming back.
Love it.
And there's billboards all around L.A. We're so excited about it. The Nosebleeds, it's on the first episode you can see for free on UFC on their official YouTube page. But the link is on our Instagram at Sklar Brothers in our bio. Go watch it. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Let them know. And we were trying to spread the word out as much as we can. We tried to use a lot of UFC talent and people. We used a bunch of fighters. And then I showed Brockman this bit. I don't want to give it away, but it was, we were like, who can we use from the UFC announcing stable who will understand what we want to do with this bit? We had a baby fight club. That's all I'm going to say. And we asked this gentleman to run a round table of talking about, you know, sort of breaking down the baby fight club. I don't know if he's on right now, if he's with us. He joins us by way of the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. He is fantastic. Came from ESPNU. We just had him on our podcast. We just did his amazing podcast. And now he does On the Line as a show for UFC Fight Pass. He calls events. And he's just one of our favorite people in the entire universe there. Brendan Fitzgerald, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Randy, we meet again, my friend.
I love it. I love it. I'm great. How are you? Coming off of a crazy UFC 277 last week. Make some sense of it for us. How do we, this is my first question. The biggest fight of there was, of course, Nunes Pena 2. How do we make sense of the first fight after watching this second fight?
Well, Amanda Nunes, I don't want to say she was making excuses, but those in the know knew that there were some circumstances behind the scenes. I think she had a knee injury.
Yeah.
I think she was just getting over COVID. Mm. Like, this all kind of came out after the fact, where things started to make sense as to why she looked so spent so early in that fight after dominating the first round. And I think that she, you know, maybe was a bit overconfident, just thought she could show up and win because that's what she's done so
right.
many times. And obviously, Juliana Pena is one tough cookie, as she showed last week, despite not, you know, winning. So now Amanda Nunes at full capacity showed that she outclassed her quite a bit. The big question now is, what's next? Do we get the trilogy in the fight? Does Amanda Nunes still want to fight? Does she want to go out on top?
Yeah.
There's still some questions to be answered.
So what is it? So now let's reverse that question. What about, you said Juliana Pena, fantastic, gave a, you know, she fought hard. She was dominated by Nunes. I mean, it was not even, I watched, there was not even close in certain moments. I mean, that was just a domination from beginning to end. It wasn't a 15-second submission. But like you were saying in the first fight, it looked like Nunes was tired or fighting something other, in that there are people who said that that submission hold would not have held her in other times. Like, she just seemed more tired and like couldn't go on. Is that what you saw in the first fight?
Yeah, I mean, every coach that I talked to, they said the arm wasn't under the chin. Like, mm-hmm. she was just ready to be out.
Right.
She gave it her best shot. She was completely, you know, broken at that point. She was ready to be out. She tapped. And, you know, Juliana is as tough as it gets, as she showed last week. And her confidence is never going to be in question. So
right.
she wants another crack at it to say, you know, let's do this for the rubber match.
I mean, anytime you send someone to plastic surgery right after the fight, you dominated them. And that's exactly, she split her head open and that was it. It's one of the things I love about UFC is that, you know, a fight like that, it's a women's fight, but that's the head of the card. It's very egalitarian in that way.
Well, there's no other sport that I can think of that is as equal. I guess you could
right.
say tennis.
Not really.
You know, a big Wimbledon final or you know, U.S. Open or any of the tennis majors
right, right.
is going to get bumped for both, you know, male and female athletes. But there's no event that's like the UFC where it can be as big and, you know, it's a men's fight, it's a woman's fight. They'll alternate. You know, it's all mixed in. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of the unique things about our sport.
We're on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line with the great Brendan Fitzgerald. If you don't follow him at Brendan Fitz TV, is that correct?
That's it.
Brendan Fitz TV on Instagram and whatnot. He's great. And he's got a new podcast that which is a new initiative from UFC Fight Pass. Our buddy Crawley Sullivan, the great Crawley Sullivan. We talked about him yesterday, giving us an opportunity to redo cheap seats, basically the nosebleeds there, but also started, you know, along with that company and its great people who work there. And along with the blessing of Dana White to start a bunch of podcasts. And yours is one of the great ones there where you really talk to people about their process and how athletes and other people, we got to do it. And how they get to where they are. You study it a lot because you see these fighters doing what they do. We talked about on our podcast, but a guy like Paddy Pimblett, is he the next kind of big star? He wins his fight and then shakes his butt in front of the guy's face. I'm not going to say what he did.
Right.
He promised to do
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
It has to do with tea, but that's all I'm going to say. He promised to do it and then he did do it. This guy is kind of, he's exciting and fun to watch. I love that he doesn't mind if he's fat during the off season or when he's not training. Tell me about
right.
where he is now in the fight world. Where are they viewing him?
Well, and it's funny because when I came on your podcast, Randy, and it was a week before he fought.
That's right.
You guys were like, who's the next big, mm-hmm. You know, up and coming? And I said, well, I don't know the result, but when this thing comes out a week later, Paddy Pimblett is either going to have become an even bigger star.
Right.
Wins, and sure enough, he went out and did just that. In the first round, he has the Conor McGregor type quality that he's very magnetic. People want to hear him talk. He's very funny
yeah.
and witty.
He is.
He also has no filter. People love the no filter thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, at least so far, he's backed up all the trash talk. He said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to finish you in the first round. And he's done that. And that is the key factor in what set McGregor apart. He said, I'm going to knock you out in the first round. And sure enough, he went out and knocked all these guys out in the first round all the way to a championship. So there's a lot of fighters that are funny and that are, you know, quirky personalities
sure.
and get a fan base. They don't always back it up and do what they said they would do in the fight. So far, Paddy's done that. That's what set him apart, in addition to the fact that he looks like a beetle.
Yes.
You know,
bowl cut.
He had tea time with somebody mm-hmm. after he said, like, he's such a fun guy. So next, I think you'll see him on a major pay-per-view card. You'll see him not like headlining. He's not going to fight for a championship anytime soon.
Right.
But he will be on a pay-per-view. I think it'll be in New York. If I had to guess, it would be in New York in November.
That's a big one. Madison Square Garden, baby. Yep.
You know, but at the very least, maybe Vegas will be the next one. But yeah, I mean, it'll be
you think he's there, yeah.
Big headlines.
He's people will pay. Yep, people will pay to see him. I mean, there. I love that you mentioned Conor McGregor because he kind of, He has the swag of Conor McGregor. He's a little goofier than Conor is. I mean, although I'll say this about Conor McGregor, Brockman here was telling me that Conor McGregor may be in Roadhouse 2. Is that really? Are you hearing that as well? Why remake that movie?
Headline. Conor McGregor, he's going to be in Roadhouse 2. And then the other thing is McGregor yesterday, I think, sent out some cryptic tweets like, hey, MMA, it's been real. I'll see you later. Now, he's retired like 10 times already.
Yeah, he's like Kiss, the band Kiss.
Something to the effect of that he's done, then the, you know, the MMA fans get set on fire. But yeah, like, I don't mean Patty as he's a carbon copy of McGregor.
No,
but
no.
Since Conor has come to superstardom, we haven't yet had the crossover household name star, the new one.
Right.
Patty is the new one.
He's the new one. I mean, a lot of MMA stars on the women's side, too, coming from England. That's a good thing because the sport itself is very international. And to get that fan base locked in is kind of great.
Well, it's so big over there,
yeah,
and it's growing over there. And you have to keep in mind, it would be much bigger if they didn't have to wait till 4 a.m. to watch the big fight.
I know.
That's the difference. I mean, I feel for the fans over there. Really,
yeah,
do. They basically have to pull an all-nighter for every UFC event. But obviously, they get crazy support at home. They kind of get that major loyalty. Like, the arena in Las Vegas is filled up with Irish people that flew from Ireland to see Conor McGregor. So you get that kind of chip on the shoulder, us against the world thing, when you come from a place that's that small. You
know, right.
The British Isles are not that big of a place. So you get the crazy loyalty back home. Europe kind of pulls for European stars no matter the country. And then over here, we like the accents.
Yeah.
Like, they sound cool.
They
sound
do.
Funny.
They
and
do.
They are funny. And they're great people. So they get this like worldwide fan base because of, you know, the small places that they're from.
And, you know, in a world where social media is a huge part of it, you can build, quote unquote, your brand on a global level, Instagram, TikTok, what have you, if you can just get that recognition, which, again, UFC provides that platform for those fighters to have that recognition. We're talking to Brendan Fitzgerald. Fitz Nation is the name of the podcast. I want to get that out there. It's a fantastic podcast. And, of course, you play-by-play announce these fights. You're sitting ringside at these fights. What's the thing that's, you know, I saw a fight at the Apex, which was designed during the pandemic as a place for fights to happen in Las Vegas, right next to UFC. And I was up close. It's fascinating to see it.
There's no other way at the Apex. Everybody's up close.
Everyone's up close there. Like, what was the first time when you called? Because you didn't come from up through the sort of the underbelly of UFC. You came from other sports. The first time you called a UFC fight and you're sitting there ringside and you're watching it closer than everybody else or octagon side, what was the thing that kind of shocked you the most or was it sort of grabbed you the very first time, if you can think back? Do you remember what the match was? And
So it wasn't one that I called. It was like the month before I first called a UFC event in arena, but I was watching it at MSG at Madison Square Garden. And I hadn't been to a UFC event before, number one. Number two, I hadn't been that close.
Yeah.
I had called a few fights on the Contender Series, but that's like a different setup. You're kind of calling it off the screen.
Right.
So I'm at MSG. I'm like in the first row. I'm kind of shadowing to like get a sense of how it's going to go when I start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ovince St. Preux was fighting Corey Anderson at MSG. And the fight, you know, Corey Anderson's kind of controlling it, looking really good or whatever. And Ovince St. Preux just throws up this head kick. And I'm looking up, and I didn't really see. He was kind of blocked because – we call fights off the monitors a lot because, you know, if a big guy has his back to me and he eats an uppercut,
hard to see.
I don't know what happened.
Hard to see.
All you see is his back.
Right.
So anyways, I'm looking up and I'm kind of like blocked, and all of a sudden I see the guy kind of stand up straight, knees lock out, and then collapses, head slams on the canvas.
Wow.
Like right in front of me.
Wow.
And it was one of those, I'm looking up, and so the lights are kind of above, so it looked like a movie. Like,
yes.
Sweat. You know, the sweat kind of glistens off and it shakes like a dog off the guy's head who's collapsing. I mean, it really did kind of look like a movie. It seemed like a slow motion.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a guy that's knocked out in front of you. And I was just like, holy smokes. Like,
this amazing.
Sport has real consequences.
Yeah.
And you never know when stuff like that is going to happen. It is wild.
That's right. And you talk about that, like one guy controlling a fight, one woman controlling a fight the entire time. But if you just make one mistake or let your guard down or walk into something or don't see, you know, a turnaround backhanded punch or elbow that's thrown, you're out, you're done. And the tide can turn so quickly, which is why I think it's so exciting for fans to watch these fights. And we've been to some, I've seen it in arenas before. I went to Key Arena, with my buddy Tom Segura, great comic, and we were watching. Rogan got us tickets, and we went and saw it, and I was like just amazed at how, like you said, it can turn on a dime. And I think that's what makes this sport so exciting. The other thing that's great about this sport, and you can speak to this too, is I feel like, and how it took over boxing is in terms of popularity, they make the fights you want to see. Like, you know, the first Peña Nunes fight was what, 8-9 months ago? We're looking at the second one now. How long did it take to make Pacquiao Mayweather? 5 years? And it was 5 years too late.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, in boxing, it's very splintered in terms of the power, in terms of who makes decisions. You got each boxer, each camp, each promoter.
Right.
Everybody's got, you know, everybody's got to get their slice of the pie. That's like very different in the UFC.
There's a governing body.
The big plus is that the UFC is known as kind of the NFL of mixed martial arts. Basically, there's no question that we're the top promotion, and so all the biggest fighters want to fight here.
Yep.
And then they all want the championship, so they get to the championship. You got to beat these guys, and the UFC, it's the closest thing to a league.
Yeah.
It's not a league. It's very tough to kind of explain exactly what it is, but there's a reason why they call it a promotion, because you promote big fights that fans want to see. And boxing just got so splintered with power in different directions for so
long.
Too hard
to make
them. Finally came to a point where now it's really tough to make the big fights you want to see. It's so rare. And the UFC did the opposite. They grew the sport from the inside out under this one promotion that was kind of controlling things. And now all of the best fighters want to be in the UFC, and they want to test themselves against all the other best guys in the UFC and girls.
That's amazing. So, look, with our show, The Nosebleeds, you participated in it. You were phenomenal in it. I love how, like, we pitched it to you on a conference call. We talked about this with you on our podcast. And, as we're pitching you the concept of what we're asking you to do, you start cracking up. And I was like, he gets it. He totally gets what we want him to do. He's going to do it, and he's going to crush it. And you did. You're amazing. Added, like, flair. But it, more importantly, gave the bit that we were trying to do credibility by the way you pulled it off, because you understood what we were trying to do. We're trying to bring our show and create new fans of UFC through comedy. That's the way in. For people who maybe don't know a ton about UFC, who are maybe watching this or listening to this on Sirius XM 85, please, like, tell them a couple of fighters that you might be like, all right, check out this guy, check out this woman, check out, you know, like a Tai Tuivasa or Israel Adesanya. Like, tell me a couple of fighters for the sort of uninformed to try and get in on it.
So to me, I would say one of the most entertaining athletes on the planet, no matter the sport, is Justin Gaethje. His last name is Gaethje. So it's like this weird kind of looking name.
He's phenomenal spelling. Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you Google this guy, YouTube him, whatever, like, there are highlights out there of this guy. He is a top level guy. He fought for a title last.
Yep.
His fights never disappoint. I mean, you talk about being an entertainer.
Yep.
And like, this guy is what it's like if you just swing like crazy, but he's so very skilled as well. I mean, to me, he's my favorite fighter in the UFC and in the world. Like, he, and I don't even particularly know him. I know a lot of these guys, and I've become friends with a lot of them.
Sure.
There's nobody like Justin Gaethje.
What weight is he?
And it's one of those, like, you can't really describe how impressive he is.
And what,
in terms of the highlights.
What weight class is he fighting at?
He's 155 pounds. So
Got
he's
it.
In the glamour division. He hasn't fought McGregor, but that's about the only fight that he hasn't had. And that fight would be bananas. If
bananas.
That
crazy.
He fought for the title. He fought for the title, I think, in February. He didn't win it, but it was a crazy fight for, you know, the 2 or 3 minutes that it lasted. He's been in the UFC about 5 years now, and he's just delivered.
Every time.
Action every time out.
I love that.
And Randy, his name is so hard to spell that he actually got it tattooed on his back.
He had it tattooed on his back. Thank you, TJ.
Yes, yeah, so
hard to spell. I'm Sklar. That's three consonants in a row. Nobody gets it right. Like, this is Brendan, this is how bad it is that, and how my dad knew that, like, your name is right. We'd go to restaurants and we'd be waiting, you know, like you put your name in and they call you over the intercom. My dad's name was Dick Sklar, but he went by Richard. And like, we'd just be sitting there and we'd hear over the intercom, Richards Party of Four. And we'd be like, yeah, that's us. Cause like we knew giving them Sklar, they wouldn't be able to do it. So that's like, you know, that's like our buddy Justin there. He tattooed it on his back.
I appreciate that you have never called me Brandon.
Yeah,
I mean,
Brandon.
You're like the only person of all time that's never called me Brandon. You get it right every time. Right?
Brandon Fitzgerald of Fitz Nation, podcast host. Well, I'm very excited. Any future fights coming up in the next couple of weeks? I know there's a big one on August 20th. Just give a little preview because that's the day we're dropping the last three episodes of the Nosebleeds in to coincide with this big one on August 20th.
No, fantastic. Congratulations on the show, by the way.
Thanks, man.
All three of the first ones. They're phenomenal.
Thanks, buddy.
It's reincarnated.
Yes.
You guys weren't lying.
Yes.
So, it's a pay-per-view next week. I will say tomorrow we're on ESPN. So that's the
great thing.
A lot of people, you know, if you're just getting into the UFC, there is so much, quote-unquote free content, but included with cable subscriptions and that sort of accessible content outside of the pay-per-views. Tomorrow, I mean, we got a great main event tomorrow. Jamal Hill and Thiago Santos. These guys are like
big-time
knockout guys. Action-packed. And it's on big ESPN, so they get a big stage. We're at the Apex. It's going to have that Fight Club feel to
it. I love it.
We kind of dominate ESPN in the summer because it's just like baseball and us.
Yes.
That's all that's going on.
It's great.
And so now football is obviously getting going. But, next week, Kamaru Usman, Dana White, and I think he aptly said last week, Kamaru Usman is the welterweight champion, and he's really starting to put himself among
the best
the
of all-time
greats.
That's
like,
right.
Who's the greatest of all time? You could start saying Kamaru Usman and have a really strong argument for it. And he's got a big challenge next week in Leon Edwards, who's from Birmingham, England. It's going to be a great fight. Salt Lake City gets the pay-per-view, and the machine keeps on rolling summer into fall.
I love it. Brandon Fitzgerald, thank you for being a part of the first season of the Nosebleeds. We'll have you back on there again. Thanks for doing our podcast.
Oh,
we love doing
anytime.
Fitz Nation at Brendan Fitz TV. Follow this guy. Thanks for joining us, man. I love it. And good luck to you.
Randy, I'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks as always. Have a great one.
Brendan, love him. So good. Brockman, he's a great, great guy. Anytime you need UFC stuff, get this guy on.
Yeah, he's really good.
Should we take a break? Let's take a break.
Come back. TJ's top five.
TJ's top five after the break. I absolutely love it. And there's a couple more things to clean up because we'll talk a little Dallas football with that. We'll be right back in a little bit. We are back. I love Brendan Fitzgerald. What a great show. Adam Rank, Gar Reines, the batting stance guy. And now we get to a favorite segment on the show. Our good friend TJ over there, TJ's top five, or TJ's big ass grab bag.
Big ass grab bag.
What TJ. In the world is in that bag? What you
got in
that
bag? Oh, come on. What you got in that case?
Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room?
TJ.
Listen. Since we're talking UFC, right? And you got the new UFC show, you and your brother.
The nose
we just had Brendan. I figured I've been sitting on this for like a year and a half. I'm like, when can I even give this top five?
Let's do it.
So I dug in the big ass grab bag, fellas, and I'm going to give to you TJ's top five favorite UFC fighters of all time. Now, I got to preface this. I'm not saying these are the five greatest of all time.
Your favorites.
Right? These are TJ's favorites, all right? Before you come yelling at me because your man's ain't on the list, just know these are the people I happen to enjoy the most. And coming in at number five, this guy, you know, right before, I guess, at the beginning of the UFC boom and like 2005 or so.
Okay.
Randy Couture.
Oh, yeah.
The natural Captain America.
Amazing.
Randy, you know, was a heavyweight champion, two-time light heavyweight champion, interim heavyweight champ. You know, just a grinded out style wrestler, former army guy. He was like, it was between him and Chuck Liddell for that time as being like the face of the UFC. Chuck obviously was knocking people out like with a one-hitter quitter. But
That's
there was
right.
something about Randy Couture I enjoyed, like just wrestling people to the ground and grinding them out and beating them up at the same time.
He had multiple ways to get you, whereas Chuck Liddell was not a one-trick pony, but he had one thing. He would knock
you out.
And the thing about the two of them is that, and we know this because we did the very first episode of The Ultimate Fighter on our show Nosebleeds. That's episode three for us. They were the two coaches.
They were the
So Randy Couture was one coach. Chuck Liddell was another coach. And meanwhile, Chris Lieben was peeing on people's beds. So that was happening in that first episode.
And guess what? That's not going to be the last time we hear the name Chris Lieben in this segment too. Okay.
Oh boy.
Coming in at number four. You know, guys, I've kind of got this thing, right? I've got a rule. if you walk to the cage, the octagon, mm-hmm. the wrestling ring, the boxing ring,
yeah.
and you're bumping a Biggie song,
oh, you're in.
Chances are I'm going to root for you,
like
1,000%. So whenever I hear kicking the door coming through the speakers mm-hmm. and I see this guy sprint to the cage, I know it's going to be a good fight. That's the answer, Frankie Edgar.
Wow.
I was a huge Frankie Edgar fan, man. I love this guy. And I think it really started in 2010 when he beat BJ Penn for the second time.
Yeah.
Kind of let people know he was for real. And in 2011, he had the second and third fight of his Gray Maynard trilogy, which I happened to be in the building for. That just kind of locked it up for me. And also, I got to meet Frankie once. I did a little interview with him. Great guy. Fights were always fun. They were always exciting. You know you get your money's worth when the answer was in the audience.
I love it. Go to number three.
Number three.
Let's do it.
This is, and by the way, any of these number three now can be considered the greatest of all time.
Okay.
Come to number three. These are all coin tosses, but I went with my man, George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
Rush. You got to think two-time welterweight GSP. Champion. He came back and he avenged his only defeats. One, two, Matt Serra, which was looked at as the greatest upset of all time, went to Matt Hughes.
Yep.
George, just, you know, he was the type of fighter who, he was a great wrestler, but he would actually take your strengths, use them against you, and then beat you with them.
And he wasn't like a big talker
You know what I mean? He was a gentleman. He was maybe the biggest gentleman in the UFC
Maybe not
sport.
A big enough talker.
Maybe he probably wasn't.
He did it
for
in the
as
ring.
Big as he was.
He did it in the
had
ring.
Had he had McGregor's boastfulness,
exactly.
it would have been so much bigger.
You never know. And that's what Brendan Fitzgerald was talking about. Sometimes the personality makes the guy
exactly.
bigger.
Exactly.
Right, give me
and,
number
and
two.
You know what? He left the sport in 13, came back 4 years later, moved up in weight. Won the light heavyweight
championship. That's incredible. All right,
so,
who's number two? Number
I'm sorry,
two.
The middleweight, my bad. Number two, this was tough. I had to flip a coin. I went with Anderson the Spider Silver.
Oh, yeah,
so,
come on.
Right there, you know, 7-time knockout of the night, 11 title defenses, one of the most dominant reigns in UFC history.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Hall
speaking
of
Chris Leben, when we really were introduced to the UFC was introduced,
yeah.
it was a fight against Leben. You knew Leben was a tough guy.
Silver
came in and mopped the octagon with Chris Leben, and he let people know that I'm here, I'm for real. And then we saw one of the greatest runs of all time. The thing about Anderson, real quick, I always felt like he was fighting at 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like almost it was too easy for him.
There were times when he made it look easy, but
he put his hands down, and then you knew somebody was going to get knocked out. So I always
right.
wondered what happened if he just gave it 100%.
Then he got a little too cocky,
he got
put his
cocky.
Hands down, and then got his bell rung. All right, number one.
Coming in at number one, I mean, look, this guy. Maybe the most complete fighter that the world has ever seen.
Let's hear it.
John Bones Jones.
Oh.
I mean, 14 title defenses, most in UFC history. 23 years old, youngest champion ever.
Mm-hmm.
When he won that belt, he just went on a streak of murderer's row of UFC fighters that he just dominated. Rampage
Jackson. Just don't give him a drug test.
Don't
attempt to give him one.
And that's the only thing that kind of, you know, that's the one knock against him. A lot of out of the octagon stuff.
Yeah.
But inside of that cage, just
he was the man.
Honest, there's nobody that's ever done it better. And now he's moving up to heavyweight. He's going to fight Stipe Miocic hopefully in September.
I love it.
Let's see what happens. But that's TJ's top five favorite.
TJ, the big ass grab bag. I love this list and I love what you're doing. This is a great list.
Thank you. A great list
right there is what we're talking about. All right.
And obviously, you know, people will be like, where's McGregor? Where's this guy? Where's that guy? Oh, you know, this
They're
is a
great.
Tough list. You can only have five or sometimes six.
Where's Rampage?
Where's Ronda Rousey?
Rampage?
I mean, you're getting.
Where's Ronda Rousey? Yeah. Where's Amanda Nunes? I mean, again, that's what I was talking about with Brendan Fitzgerald is what I love about the sport is it's not heavyweights and it's not, you know, it's not middleweights and it's not, it's like it can be anybody
anyone
can headline the card if that's the thing that people want to see. And you give credit to shows like The Ultimate Fighter and whatnot for building the personalities of these guys and then now you look at a guy like Paddy Pimblett and you're like, well, everybody wants to see this guy. If he can continue to fight, continue to be good. I love that you brought that out right here, right now, in honor of Brendan Fitzgerald being here, in honor of the Nosebleeds, our show.
Nosebleeds.
I'm very excited. Maybe we'll
show a little
promo of that or a little clip from that in the next hour. Next hour, we're going to talk some college football with Dave Revson. Obviously, things... in hour two, the Big Ten is now coast to coast with USC and UCLA.
We're in Big Ten country, y'all.
Big country.
It's amazing. It's interesting. But at the same time, it'll be cool. And you look at the LA market. Will there be others? I mean, Kevin Warren just said that no more Pac-12 teams will be allowed – when I thought, oh, Cal and Stanford, they absolutely should. We'll talk about all that with Rever, and we'll find out kind of where things are at, because you have a potential later, the biggest game of the year, Michigan, Ohio State. Both those teams could be 11-0. We were talking about it, Brockman. Yes, you know Alabama's going to be great. They'll be at the top. Yes, you know Georgia will be great. They'll be up there. Clemson may be great and be back up there again at this time. Notre Dame looks like they're going to be good. But that Michigan-Ohio State game could be 2-3. Could be 1-3, 1-4. You know, you're looking at that could be the best game of the year happening at the best time of the year. So we'll get into all of that. Plus, Brockman, you got a little segment that's
going to we're going to do a little Friday staple. You know what's coming, TJ. What's more likely, an NFL edition now the preseason is back.
I love it.
Football. We now have, think about this, guys. We now have 6 straight months of football weekends. There is football every single weekend from now until mid-February.
And again, once you get into the college football season, that's when I'm at my absolute best, because you got college on Saturday, NFL on Friday, and the NFL on Sunday, and some other college on Friday, too. All that stuff coming up. Hour 3. Love it. Randy Sklar filling in for Rich Eisen on NBC Sports on Peacock and Sirius XM 85. Stay with us for Hour 3.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.